This hour on Current State, at the end of every calendar month, Current State hosts its regular reporter roundtable to review the biggest stories of that month. And joining us to look back at the drop out of a shoe-in, we'll call it, the unresolved gay marriage issue, the bumps facing road funding, it's Elaine Culhanick, Community Conversations Editor at the Lansing State Journal. Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
Kathy Gray covers the Capitol for the Detroit Free Press. Welcome back, Kathy.
Hi, Mark.
And covering this week for regular Tim Skubick, we're pleased to welcome back Mickey Hurton, Associate Publisher of the Lansing City Pulse.
Mark, happy to be here.
Mickey, great to have you. We've all had a few more days to get used to the idea of a new U.S. congressperson representing Michigan's 8th District, which includes Lansing and East Lansing, of course. After a weekend, to let it sink in, what are your thoughts, Mickey?
Well, I mean, they seem to be scrambling on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. I think we'll get a little clarity by the end of the week. The Democrats were out polling this weekend. They did some automated polls. In fact, we got one at home. And I know some of the candidates will be polling themselves, but they've got to move very quickly. But you talk of Bonero, Byram, and Bishop are the ones that were cited in the polling by the Democratic Congressional Committee.
Okay. Easy enough to remember the last names. Kathy, any thoughts?
Well, Mike Rogers really put everybody in the lurch because he quit so abruptly. This was a real surprise. Mm-hmm. And the candidates only have until April 22nd to put together their team, to gather 1,000 signatures, and to decide whether they're going to run or not. So there are a lot of people scrambling out there who had no thought of doing that before, because if Rogers ran again, he would get reelected.
Virg Bonero denied on Friday that, he made it clear he feels he has an awful lot of work to do here in Lansing. Elaine, do you think he could change his mind about that?
Well, I would never say never, but I think that he was pretty sincere about it, and I think there's enough other Democrats out there throwing their hats in.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but I know he's polling this week. He's going to commission a poll.
He's commissioning his own poll?
Well, yep. And once everybody started reporting, oh, no, I'm intending to stay in Lansing, all of a sudden everybody's getting emails saying, hey, no, wait, there's still a possibility that I could run. Who knows what he's going to do.
Any other names outside the three B's arise to the top for you?
There's a lot. Barb Byram, I think, is one of the leading Democrats. Mike Bishop is one of the leading Republicans. However, I got several emails over the weekend saying he's not conservative enough.
Bishop?
Yeah. So I think that you're going to see someone further right from Bishop, who's going to try to make an attempt. You got Senator Joe Hewn, who's thinking about it seriously.
Solanuses
is also thinking about it, but his name recognition isn't quite as good as some of the others. So,
Mickey, you would suggest that Mike Bishop is sufficiently conservative to run in the 8th district?
Well, I guess it depends how you look at the district. I know that when the local polls look at this race, they think Livingston County is where it's won or lost. Like with Bonero, can he position himself in Livingston County to pick up enough votes? I mean, they see, the Dems certainly see Ingham County as safe, and it extends over as far as parts of Oakland.
Well,
right?
And Oakland is the largest population center of it, but it's the northern tier of Oakland County into Rochester, and that's pretty Republican territory. There aren't any Democratic elected officials really in that general area, so you're not going to see it. You're probably not going to see a Democratic candidate from Oakland County in the race.
Bill Ballinger was here on Friday of Inside Michigan Politics. He emphasized the 8th is not as red as an awful lot of people seem to think.
Yeah, I think I was seeing it's only about considered 2 points to the red.
53-54%.
Okay, he said 54, if I'm not mistaken.
You've got Lansing, which is highly Democratic. So if you've got a big Democratic turnout, which is questionable in an off presidential election year, that's a little bit sketchy. I'm not sure if a Dem can do it, but.
One of the things they're trying to avoid, too, the reason the Democrats are out polling now is they'd love to avoid a primary fight in this.
Yeah.
Because that'll be the usual primary bloodbath. And secondly, it'll cost a lot of money. They could spend $500,000 easily on a primary bid. So what they would like to do is, I think, sort of find the candidate, find the one they think has the best opportunity to challenge, and then save their money for what will no doubt be a well-funded Republican bid for this seat.
In the end, how excited should Democrats be about this opportunity?
Well, it doesn't come along very often. So, yeah, they should be excited. For somebody like Barb Byram, she doesn't have to quit her job to run for this seat, so it's a kind of a free shot for her.
I guess what crosses my mind is that given that it does favor the Republicans, the district favors the Republicans just slightly, could you argue that the Democrats, the Democratic candidate has to be viewed fairly favorably by swing voters?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't forget the woman vote either. And
good point.
And so if you've got Byram in there, she's got all sorts of you know, not only is she a woman, but she was involved in the whole mess last year when the female speakers were gaveled down.
Right. So nobody's announced yet. How much longer do we have to wait?
By the end of the week.
Absolutely.
You'll start
end of the week.
Well, they have no time. I mean, you've got
the 22nd is the registration deadline.
But even getting your signatures, I mean, it sounds simple to say, oh, go get 1,000 signatures, but the petitioning process has to be very specific and absolute, and, you know, I mean, it's just a lot to organize.
Well, just go ask Thad McCotter how easy it is to get signatures.
Yeah,
real signatures or
real signatures.
Real signatures. That's the ones you're talking about.
I think the one thing I think about Bernero is he does have statewide recognition. I mean, if there's anyone, I mean, he did run for governor and got a lot of votes against an unbelievably well-funded Snyder campaign. So he has his statewide reputation. That could be work for him or against him, but he's also on television a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, so he is, if there's anyone who's a standard bearer, it could be him, but, you know, again, it cuts both ways.
Let's move to the various developments this month relating to gay marriage here in Michigan. There were several. First and foremost, of course, Judge Friedman's ruling a week ago Friday that the state's same-sex marriage ban is unconstitutional. Last week, a few days after about 300 marriages that took place, including quite a few in Mason at the Ingham County Courthouse, Governor Snyder had this to say.
But because of the stay, that the operation of law is such that we won't recognize the benefits of that marriage until there's a removal of the stay or there's an upholding of the judge's opinion by the Court of Appeals or a higher court.
More recently, of course, on Friday, the U.S. Department of Justice announced it would recognize the marriages as legal. That would make the couples eligible for federal benefits. What does all of this legal limbo add up to?
Well, it leaves those 300 couples in limbo for the indefinite future, and probably until next summer, because the Supreme Court is probably going to be the one that's going to end up deciding this issue. And they'll take it perhaps one of the cases. There's about 9 of them out there that they could choose from to decide whether these bans are unconstitutional or not. They won't make a decision probably until next summer. So the couples are, as far as the state is concerned, are up in the air until then.
Just an appalling decision by Snyder. I mean, what he's done is he's created an entirely new class of citizens in this state. You could be single, you could be married with full benefits, or you could be married without benefits. What kind of decision is that? He's clearly tried to split the baby, play both sides against the middle, and it's a failure of leadership, in my view.
Well, it's the kind of social issue that the governor would appear to have little, if any, use for.
Well, too bad.
Correct.
He's governor. You know, he makes the case that I'm focused on the economy. I've got to focus on jobs. Uh-huh. Well, you know, sometimes you have to juggle things. You know, you're out there as the chief executive of the state. Other issues come up. I mean, you can't be that single-minded when there are other issues that the people expect leadership on. And I think his inability to juggle is a surprising detriment to our local governments.
It raises the question of whether or not this is another issue that could further divide the GOP in an election year. Your thoughts?
Well, I guess it is. I mean, when you talk about it, if you want to focus on jobs, there are a lot of companies that think acceptance of diversity is an important value in the employees they want. And there are a lot of companies that offer same-sex benefits. for people, and they have to do that to get top talent. So if you're going to have a state that's going to refuse to acknowledge that, I think there would be some businesses that would come out and say, this is not such a business-friendly policy.
Well, we've heard of gay couples leaving the state so they can start families.
You know, so that's, I think that's a factor that they that really ought to be considered. I can't, you know, and when this first started, I thought people were trying to say Snyder wasn't going to have a position, and then they dug out, of course, his material from the last election where he had that one or two lines in a debate. And then he gave a quote
to
Associated Press. It's very fuzzy.
Comments from maybe 2011, maybe 10.
Yeah.
I can't remember the year.
When
marriage is between a man and a woman.
But everyone has the right to partake in contracts.
Okay.
But this is the same, isn't it? It's not on his agenda till it's on his agenda.
Well, the thing is he didn't make anybody happy with this thing. He, the same-sex couples are happy that their marriage is legal, but they're very unhappy that they're not recognized. The Republicans who don't agree with him aren't happy that he said that the marriages are legal. They don't view the marriages as legal because right now the state's constitution says that they're not. So he didn't make anybody happy with this thing.
And isn't it amazing that he didn't have an answer immediately? I mean, it's not like you saw this case. It was going to go one of two ways.
Months out.
Yeah. You know, judge was going to, you know, throw out the state law, or he wasn't. And then they seemed caught by surprise by this. And it just seems you would have known. I mean,
in an election year, what does this add up to for the governor?
Well, I mean, I think it's something that he's going
to
get asked about a lot between now and November. And every time you dance around it, you know, and plus he, in a certain way, with a certain segment of voters, he opens himself up to the whole dancing around right to work until he didn't. You know, I mean, how many things cannot be on your agenda until they are?
It's a pretty nice gift for Mark Schauer, the Democratic candidate, I think, because it offers him a position on an issue that generally is popular with people more than, you know, more for it than against it. And also
59%, I read last
week. And it also deals with Snyder as a leader. And I think leadership, you know, it's a hoary cliche until you look for it and then you want it. So I think he's a pretty happy guy.
Well, this is where political leadership can be different from business leadership. I mean, the fact of the matter is, and you're a political leader, you have to get into policies that are social policies, not just economic policies.
Right. Good
and
point.
There's no way around that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to navigate those shoals, and he doesn't want to.
Attorney General Bill Schuette figures heavily in the gay marriage debate, and he launched his campaign for another term last week. How newsworthy a development was the launch, and what kind of commentary did it generate?
Well, the interesting thing was that this Judge Friedman just eviscerated Schuette's case.
Yes.
Called his witnesses totally unbelievable. And this comes out almost the same day that he is launching his campaign. The launch of his campaign was lost. Nobody was talking about that. Everybody was talking about the decision. So, I mean, everybody knows he's running for re-election. But I think that this one hurts him because the case that the state presented was not great.
And I think, didn't he also say when he, in his campaign, as he's defending his decision to appeal this, he's now basing it on the state's constitution rather than this very specious argument that somehow children are hurt. He seems to have eliminated that argument.
It's the 2004 vote.
You know, it's a real tightrope that these guys are walking because all of a sudden they're softening their tone. Schuette really started to soften his tone last week saying, you know, all kids need are loving parents, whether they're gay, whether they're straight, whatever. And so all of a sudden he's having to walk this tightrope too because there are people out there who are raising children and you don't want to totally slam them. And I think Snyder is doing the same thing. He's walking that tightrope, and I think that's a really difficult balance.
How much of a contest? What does that say about the contest for Attorney General here in Michigan against Democrat Mark Totten?
Well,
how much does that benefit?
I mean, the Democrat, the Attorney General job is just the softest political spot you can have. I mean, you come up with policies, you come up with task forces. I mean, it's tailor-made for re-election. So I can't see a serious challenge myself on that, because you play, you're able to just try to please everybody with policies and law proposals, but you don't really have to deliver on them.
It would seem this would add up to more a greater advantage here, though.
Except people don't know Mark Totten. Nobody knows who he is. He's very capable. He's done a lot of different things, but there's just absolutely no name recognition. And keep in mind, he may not be the candidate. He still has to go through the nominating process.
No chance of an anybody but Schuette movement developing here?
It's always a possibility, but you've got to get somebody who has got a little bit more juice.
Not much of a bench on the Dems on that side anyway.
It's been 6 decades, I read, since an incumbent attorney general lost an election here in Michigan. 1954 was the last time that happened. It is the season to bellyache about the roads with growing justification. The photo of the man-eater in front of the Kellogg Center here in East Lansing made NPR, for crying out loud. A truck out repairing a pothole creates an even bigger crater in the process of repairing one. And it seems that the season did trigger some discussion here this month. Did a road funding discussion just continue this month, Kathy, or could you argue that it moved forward?
Oh, it absolutely moved forward. Snyder has been calling for increased investment for a couple of years now in the roads, $1.2 billion a year that he thinks that it's needed. And the legislature just has not been willing to do that because you've got to raise a lot of taxes and fees and things like that in order to do that. It's hard to do in an election year. But all of a sudden, you've got this horrendous winter that we've had, and you're starting to see rebar in the road, mm-hmm. as the potholes go that deep, so
that may be better. At least there's something there.
Yeah. So, all these lawmakers are hearing from their constituents saying, "Oh my gosh, fix the roads! I've got a $900 repair bill."
And they're back in their districts now. Too,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah. for 3 weeks. So you're going to see some movement on this. You're not going to see $1.2 billion figure out how to do that, but you're going to see some movement.
Could the road debate and demands for action kill the proposal for an income tax rollback?
Absolutely.
You're nodding yes.
Absolutely. Okay. I think everybody has pretty much agreed with that.
Is it becoming an election issue? Could it become an election issue for any number of legislators?
Sure. From the governor on down, because they have not been able to come up with a solution. And people want their roads fixed. People don't want their fillings coming out as they're driving down Michigan roads.
And, I had a relative who spent some time in southeast Michigan, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and he maintains that as bad as they may seem here in mid-Michigan, they are arguably really a lot worse in southeast Michigan.
Where there's more traffic,
Oakland County.
Worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a regressive tax when you think about it. I mean, it's just you're going to pay. I mean, people with old cars will break down more likely to break down in potholes. They will pay the cost. We all pay it one way or another.
And these are not inexpensive repairs. I mean, when you took $950, I got an oil change a couple weeks ago, and one of the fellows waiting for his car had just hit. He's calling home to say, "Well, I'm at the dealership because I hit a pothole on MLK and took out, two rims. It's $1,500.
Yeah.
It's not a small amount of money for folks.
A couple of these stories that we've been talking about have had a tendency, especially in the last couple of weeks, I think, to really distract people from other things that are going on. Do any of you have an overlooked or underreported story from March?
Well, one that I haven't done much with is, and there hasn't been a whole lot done, is all these human trafficking bills that are making their way through the legislature. This is a big issue that Schuette and a number of Republican and Democratic lawmakers started talking about last year, cracking down on human trafficking of young people. And the problem is that they just haven't been able to really come up with some solid numbers as to how big of a problem it really is, if it is a big problem. So that's mine.
The unwillingness, it seems, of the federal government to build the plaza for the bridge, the proposed bridge to Canada, is sort of disappointing.
What's going on there?
Well, apparently there's money to build the bridge, but there's no money to build the toll plaza. And it's about, I guess, $100 million.
It was left out of Obama's budget.
It's a lot.
Well, and it's far down on the list of infrastructure projects, those types of infrastructure border projects that the federal government is looking at. The Blue Water Bridge is higher on the list than the Windsor Crossing. So
there were also, this pops into my head, there were also accusations recently that the Snyder administration did a favor for a cousin of the governor, George Snyder, who's in the furniture business and allegedly stood to lose state business under a bill a few years ago. The accusation is that Budget Director John Nixon got involved. Rich Baird, former chief of the now defunct Nerd Fund, got involved. Where is this? Does this story have traction?
It's certainly going to become an election issue because it is Snyder's cousin, George Snyder, who was emailing back and forth with Rich Baird, worrying about this budget, and we'll take care of it. But he also, the cousin also has had contracts with the state for a long time prior to Snyder becoming governor. So that's how it might shake out.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Snyder's already said that it's nothing but a political distraction by the Democrats. But you're right. I mean, all these little things begin to stick, and it's not one, but it's, you know, it's gay marriage, and it's this, and it's, you know, it's many, and that's, you know, elections are framed on that sometimes.
Mickey and Elaine, you in particular, we'll all be looking at the BWL report, well, the Community Review Team mm-hmm. report coming up in the coming days. What do you anticipate?
I think it's going to be very thorough, and I think it's probably going to have some difficult recommendations. I suspect that they may very well go into governance. I don't know that. I've not talked to General McDaniel, but I think that may be part of it, and I think there'll be some unhappiness on the BW, you know, with some of the BWL board members when they see how thorough it is. Mm-hmm. And
Mickey, what are you going to be looking at first and foremost when you get your hands on this?
Well, I mean, I think we know an awful lot of what happened. I mean, it's come out at the hearings. We know that the communication plan was a mess, that they weren't prepared, their computer systems were inadequate, that they didn't have sufficient numbers of crews. I think the report, as Elaine says, will be really thorough. I'm not sure what it will all mean when it gets done. I don't see them calling for Lark's head. I think they may look for some restructuring and new policies and procedures. But at the end, I mean, I think it'll tell us much of what we know. We will find out they were just unprepared culturally and, you know, and physically for this kind of a storm. And they'll learn from this. But I think in a year, we'll just go, yeah, whatever. It's all been, you know, it's over. And it sort of is over. I mean, people who are really annoyed are less annoyed now because they're out in the yard.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think that governance issue is not going to go away. Well, I think the folks in East Lansing, those are highly educated people, and they're motivated at the moment. And the Delta Township folks are also angry, and I don't think they're going to go away.
Well, what are they going to do? They can't do anything. They're going to, you know, join a new utility?
Well,
they have
I think they're going to keep I think that issue is not going to go away.
But they have no
I disagree with you.
They have no standing. They can either get their power from consumers or BWL,
but they can't.
And they
can't. You can't just up and go get your power somewhere else.
So
So
the city gives them some ex officio status.
Seats on the board.
Yeah, and they can become an observers and they can watch. But there's nothing that forces the city to do that other than goodwill.
We will have you two back after we get the report in our hands. I think we've got a segment all set to go.
We want to thank you. Yeah.
Mickey Hurt.
Like, I haven't heard that line in a minute.
Hey, Mark, happy birthday, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Mickey Hurton, thanks very much. Associate publisher of the Lansing City Pulse. Kathy Gray covers the Capitol for the Detroit Free Press. Elaine Culhannock of the Lansing State Journal. Many thanks.
Thanks, Mark.